Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
Some glad morning we shall see Jesus in the air, coming after you and me, joys ours to share. What rejoicing there will be when the saints shall rise, heading for that jubilee yonder in the sky. Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, hallelujah, when we meet our blessed Savior in the sky. On the last, when with all singing in the Holy Ghost, how the heavens will ring. Millions there will join the song, with them we shall be. Praising Christ through ages long, heaven's jubilee. Singing, oh, what singing, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, yes, how. Oh, what singing, yes, oh, what shouting, on that happy morning when we all shall rise. Oh, what glory, yes, hallelujah, when we meet our sing the chorus one more time, sing it. Oh, what singing, yes, oh.
Isn't that going to be a time up there? Oh, what singing, oh, what shouting. Amen. But I'm so glad we can do a little bit down here. Amen. Amen. On our way. Amen. Amen.
I love this song. Love to hear Brother Phil sing it. Bow the knee.
There are moments on our journey following the Lord when God illumines every step we take. There are times when circumstances make perfect sense to us as we try to understand each move He makes. But when the path grows dim and our questions have no answers, turn to Him.
Bow the knee, trust the heart of your Father. When the answer goes beyond what you can,
we won't cease to blow.
And there seems to be no reason for the suffering we feel.
We are tempted to believe God doesn't know.
Situation of life we face, what we're going through, the Lord can take care of each and every, I mean, not one thing we faced this week he didn't already know about and have an answer to. We see problems, he already knows the solution. He already knows what it's going to take to fix it and take care of it in our life if we'll turn it over to him and let him have it. That's a hard thing for us as human beings to do. We don't like to turn loose control. We feel like if we keep our hands on it, that we can make it right and we can fix it if we keep our hands on it. And the Lord just wants to show out a little bit, and if we'll just back off from it and keep our hands off of it, there's...
Appreciate that. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. It was a thrill to pull up in the parking lot and see the parking lot full of cars. And good to see your faces. I know we have a lot of folks, faithful folks, that are ill or out of town. So it's good to see this nice crowd here this morning. If you have your Bibles, let's turn back to the book of Colossians. I see we have a check on the pulpit, Mrs. Murphy, for the medals that she's been collecting through the church and other places, and which goes to the missions, and we appreciate that very much. Appreciate all you that are saving your cans, your tin cans, and so forth. I know the Lord will bless you for that. I want to go back, if we may please, to the book of Colossians and talking about the Lord God as the head of our church. He is saying, and you just bear with me this morning, and I'd appreciate it, but praise be to God, in chapter 1 and verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Isn't that wonderful? And that means by him all things come together. All things stand together. In other words, he brings it all together only by him. And then in verse 18, it says, and he, meaning Jesus Christ, as described in verse 1 of this chapter, and he is the head of the body, the church. Blessed be his name. Lord, you be with us. We need your help this morning. In Christ's name we pray, oh Father. Amen. Now, if you remember, we spoke last Sunday morning and Sunday night. We dealt with this thing, this government called the church. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is referred to as the church of the living God. And then the church is called the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar, the flaming fire, the light unto a lost and dying world. And then also the ground, the foundation. But also, if you remember that word, the ground also means a stay. And what was the stay we talked about? It was that great mighty cable or rope that attaches to the front of the ships and rises up to hold the mast in place, if you remember, and continues across to the backward part of the ship. And that way the mast cannot sway or fall, and the mast must be strong, wide to hold the yard, and the yard is attached to the mast, and to the yard what is attached? The sail, and the sail must be strong, for when the winds of this world blow, that the mast can stand. And also we talked about the Christians looking for an answer to their prayer. And where do they stand? At the top of the mass, there's something called the crow's nest. And the Christian stands up. They've asked the church for prayer. And we talked about how Mrs. Babs at one point was on top of that mast, and she was looking for an answer to prayer. And then there was Brother Bill and Brother Andy and others that have looked for answers to their prayer. And as they stand at the top of the mast, they could depend on the church to stay, to hold that mast steady. And so we saw this thing, and I want us to keep that stay, that mast, the crow's nest in mind, because not only was it important that we as Christians to stand there, not only Christians that are in need to be able to stand at the top of the mast to look for their answers to their prayers, not only is it important for that, but there's something else. Old church, Westside Baptist Church, that needs to be stable and held high, and only can be held high if the mast is stable. Can only be held high if the crow's nest is stable. And ladies and gentlemen, that is the standard of the church. And the standard of the church is held up by the church. So we need to keep that in mind. Thank God we have a holy head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the head. He is the creator. He is the Holy One of the church. And I want us to remember that not only is the holy head, but making a reference back just a minute ago, he's the creator. He has created this government, ladies and gentlemen. And because he has created it, we need to respect it. We need to love it. We need to pay attention to it. I remember when I was younger, I'd buy a car. Man, I loved the car. I'd keep it washed and waxed and kept pretty. And I mean to tell you, I remember years ago, I was a youth pastor up in Virginia, and we lived out on a piece of property that was a mile from a paved road. And everything from the property to the paved road was dirt. And I'd get that car nice and washed and ready for whatever reason. Usually it was a date, amen. And I'd creep real slowly for that mile, trying not to get my car dirty, because I didn't want to pick that chick up in a dirty car. And so I'd get to the road, and then I'd go to the next little town where they had a car wash. And I'd wash the car all over again because my car was dusty, and I had an affection for that stupid automobile. I want to tell you, the church, and by the way, that automobile's gone. Amen. Within 20,000 miles, I blew the thing up. And it's gone. I don't know where it is today. It's probably in a junkyard. But the church is forever and ever. And we need to love the church. Hold the standard high for the church. And how do we do this? What is the first step of holding the standard high for the church? The first step is we have a biblical responsibility to the government of the church. Remember that Christ not only created the church, not only is he the head of the church, but he loved the church so much that you being the church, he died for the church. And so we have a biblical responsibility to do what? We have a biblical responsibility to have a to have to love the church and the leadership, the government of the church. In Hebrews chapter 13, ladies and gentlemen, don't listen to this voice, listen to the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 13, we find that we're to remember the church. Remember the church. What does it specifically say? Remember them that have rule over you. That's remember. Let me ask you, do you remember enough? Do you remember those that have rule over you enough to pray for them? Do you remember them enough to love the leadership of the church? I want to say to you that it's a responsibility to the leadership and the government of the church we have. Also in Hebrews 13, we find that we're to obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. Ladies and gentlemen, we should love those that God has placed over us in His government, because we are going to give an account before God what we do, how we do, the way we do, how we do. We are going to give an account to God, and that should, the responsibility, the weight of that should fall on each and every leader of Westside Baptist Church. And we need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that if our leadership takes this responsibility literally and seriously, we should have a little sympathy and empathy, because understanding there's a weight that goes with that leadership if we're doing what we should do. I'm not here this morning because I feel like being here physically. I'm here this morning because I must be here this morning, because I have the Word of God, not just the Word of God, but the message that God has for Westside Baptist Church. You don't realize how messed up you are mentally while taking all the crazy medications the doctors give you, until you stand at the countertop in your kitchen writing your tithe check and you can't remember how to spell Westside Baptist Church, much less preach to the congregation. So if I stumble along this morning, you just hang on. I promise you one thing. This is the message that God has for us this morning. Hebrews chapter 13 also tells us that we're to suffer the word of comfort given to us through our leaders. You say, preacher, why would the word suffer be used to receive the word of exhortation to us? Why would we have to suffer? Well, the fact is, this word suffer means we're to bear it. And the reason we have to bear this word of exhortation is because exhortation means comfort. But comfort for the Christian, it is not always comfort to the flesh of the Christian. And so rebuke and exhortation is a responsibility of the leadership of the church. And we are to suffer, excuse me, or bear with, or endure, or not resist this comforting word, because it will not always comfort your sinful flesh, but it should be comforting to your Holy Spirit within you. And then it tells us, oh Christians, your responsibility to the leadership is to salute all them that have rule over you. What does it mean to salute? It means to greet them. It means to bid welcome. It means to wish well to. It means to receive joyfully. Did I say that clearly? It says to receive them joyfully. If we understand the pressures of leadership, and if as leaders we're doing all that we can do and we're supposed to do, then no matter what we say in the spirit that you must suffer through, take it, and love the man that's trying to tell. So we've seen the responsibility of the general population of Westside Baptist Church. This is not taken out of the church decorum. These are things that are taken straight from the Word of God. Straight from the Word of God. These things should be taken seriously. These things should be taken at heart. That we should do them and absorb and wrap our Christian loving arms around our leadership. Now, bear with me. Am I doing all right? We've talked about the general leadership, our general population, but now I want to talk to leadership, or those that might find themselves having a desire to lead one day. You see, this thing of leadership is not all what it's cracked up to be. It's lonely sometimes. There's things you deal with that you don't want to deal with, and sometimes you have to do it in solitude. And sometimes maybe with a few, and there's pressures of responsibility that go with that. I want to talk to you what the Bible says concerning the deacons. But ladies and gentlemen, let me help you understand this, that there's only a couple variables between the responsibility of the deacons and the responsibility of other leaders in the church. Did you hear me? Those responsibilities are this. Number one, prepared to preach in the absence of your pastor. Secondly, being a man of one wife, meaning not being divorced. Now let me say this before I go any further. Our divorced people are not second-class citizens. Some of the most godly individuals I know have been through a divorce that was not their fault. Some of the greatest prayer warriors I know are men and women that have gone through the horrors of divorce. So let me state very clearly that our divorced church membership, they are not second-class citizens. And we love them. We love them. And we pray for them. And we need them. And want them at Westside Baptist Church. I'll tell you, the church couldn't function if it were not for our divorced people. Is that right, Pastor? I want to tell you this. Our divorced people are more faithful to tithe than you non-divorced people. Amen, preacher. Hey, I feel like dirt today. But I feel good to be preaching the word that God sent me here to preach to you. And I don't apologize for it. And if I preach for 5 minutes or 50 minutes, I ain't apologizing. The deacons are told likewise, ye must the deacons be grave, honest, reverend, to be regarded for their character. Now I want to stop a minute and remind you there's just two differences between the deacons and the general public or general population of the church. Only two. The divorce thing and the prepared to preach in the absence of the pastor thing. So we don't, should not get uppity up and high and mighty when we look at a deacon and say, well, he's not doing this or he's not doing that. The question is, what are you doing? I'm not for a minute excusing a deacon if they're being lazy or unfaithful or not men of character. But there's just a couple differences between the general population. I'm talking about biblical requirements and the deacons. Well, what is the other thing? Well, they are not to be double-tongued. Well, what does double-tongued mean? It means two things. Number one, it means a deacon shouldn't say one thing to one person and another thing to another. A deacon shouldn't be two-faced. Now, hang on, sports fans. It goes a little deeper than that. Double tongue also means this, and I'm not going to read specific definitions because I just need to get through this message before I fall down, is this: when a deacon comes into a deacon's meeting or a deacon comes to the pastor and they come together to speak about the government, which is the church, which God is the head of, which he created. Are you still with me? He should not come to the pastor and the deacon board with situations that he and his family or extended family or friends have been sitting around the dinner table and discussing church business. When a deacon comes to the pastor or to a deacon's meeting, he is to come with the thoughts that God has put in him through prayer, reading of God's word, and meditating on God's word and the situations at hand. He should not be spewing whatever his wife tells him to spew. In other words, the deacon's responsibility is to govern by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, period. And if the deacon does his job, then ladies and gentlemen, Westside Baptist Church will prosper. Are we having fun yet? Now let me say this. I'm afraid it doesn't stop there. I'm afraid it goes a little deeper. And I want to say it again. There's two differences between the biblical responsibility and qualification for the deacons and the general population of the church. The divorce situation. And what was the other one? Being prepared to preach in the absence of the preacher. So when I'm talking about the deacons, I'm talking about you. Westside Baptist Church. Do you love me? Are you praying for me? Lord, I hope so. Now, I want to share this with you. Ladies and gentlemen, I love you. But saying all that, there's the deacon's wives. The deacon's wives also have a responsibility to this great government that God has put together called the church. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, we also see their wives, in verse 11, must be grave, must be honest, must be reverend, but must be known for character, must be honorable of deeds. That's the deacon's wife. In other words, a deacon's wife can disqualify the deacon. Hey, wives, I don't care if your husband is a deacon or not. If he holds a leadership role, you can disqualify him from leadership. All right, one more thing. Two more things. Concerning the deacon's wives, says, must their wives be grave? And then this, not slanderers. Now, let's stop. You know where I'm going. Slanderers means prone to slander. If you're a deacon's wife and you're pulling people aside in this church and running your mouth about another brother or sister in Christ, you're disqualifying your husband from his office. Amen. Slanderous, accusing falsely. Well, I don't accuse falsely. When I accuse, it's the truth. Here we go, sports fans. God's word puts the nail in that coffin. To make malicious statements. If you make malicious statements about another person, you have disqualified your husband from leadership. Husbands, if your wives have a leadership role and you use your tongue, I want to say you have disqualified your wife from her leadership position. I'm saying that there's a biblical government that has been created by the Creator, the Holy God, and we have a responsibility to it. To do what? Well, thank you for asking. On the mast that stands so high, and the stay that crosses to the mast that holds it in place, that those can stand at the crow's nest and look for God's answers. There's also something else that the mast takes care of and the stay takes care of, and that is there's a flag of flying. There's a banner from heaven, and it is flown and held only as high as the stay or the church will fly it. Ladies and gentlemen, are we flying the banner high? It says to be sober, deacons' wives, be grave, honest, reverend, known for character, not to be one that makes malicious statements or false statements or slanderous statements, but also it tells us, ladies, to be sober, vigilant, watchful to detect danger, temperate, self-restraint, not extreme in opinion or statement. Did you hear that? And it also means abstaining from wine. So if you're the wife of a leader of the church and you like to nip, you've disqualified your husband from service. Well, God's word. See, if I was telling you what I thought, I would not be very secure in my position. But I'm talking about the word of God, the word of the creator of the universe, the word of the one who is the head of the church. First Timothy also says the deacons not only should be a husband of one wife, but ruling their children and their own house as well. I want to straighten something out real quickly. It doesn't mean that deacons' children or children of people in the leadership positions will not have children that do stupid stuff. It means that if a deacon or a leadership, a pastor, deacon, or a leader of the church that has a child or children and they do stupid stuff, and they, meaning the leader of the home, does not take steps to fix it, does not set boundaries and rules to take care of it, then they are no longer qualified to be in that leadership role. So let's understand that children are children, and I wish their brains developed more quickly so they wouldn't do stupid stuff in their teen years. But nevertheless, the truth is, as leaders, when our children act up, we have to have a game plan to fix it. So if children, church, if one of the leaders are having issues with one of their children, don't criticize them. Understand that they're doing things behind the scenes that you don't know about to take care of the matter. Oh, Christians. 1 Timothy 3 tells that, well, I tell you what, for time's sake, I'm going to say this. A deacon must be saved. A leader in the church must be born again. And I want to say this with all the love in the world. And I mean this. I believe we have a born-again problem in the church. I believe we have people who have been playing church for so long. I believe maybe you've made some statement of faith and maybe you weren't sincere. I believe we have lost people in the church. Say, well, I tell you, I like church, but I just, you know, some days I just don't want to get up and go. If you feel like I do today, that may be one of those days. But I want to tell you, if you can miss God's house and the fellowship with God's people and it doesn't rub you the wrong way, I want to invite you to reinspect yourself. I want to tell you today that there is responsibility that we have to the government of the church. It's the banner, it's our flag, and we must raise it high. I'm going to stop there. Church, are we willing to raise the banner? Say, preacher, what was your next statement? What was your next step? Where were you going next? If you're stopping, where were you going? And I'm going to tell you quickly, the next one was the teacher. In closing, the teachers. are empowered by the Holy Spirit. And if you're a teacher and you're not empowered by the Holy Spirit, then don't teach. If you're a teacher and you should be in your place on Sunday morning, but you can't make it because you're at a rock concert Saturday night, don't teach. God ain't in you anyway. If you can go suck on that mess and come to church on Sunday morning, you suck from a different straw than I drink from. You don't need to be teaching anyway. I'm telling you, teachers, teach. Why do you teach? You teach that those that are sitting under you can learn God's way. And that's Psalm chapter 27 and verse 11. You teach that people can find God's path. And that's in Psalm chapter 25 and verses 4 and 5. You teach that those may learn God's law. Well, that's in Psalm chapter 19 over and over. Psalm chapter 119, verse 12, 22, and 16. We also need our teachers because they help us to find the will of God in our lives. And that's found in Psalm chapter 43. We also need teachers to help us to embrace God's holiness and reject worldliness. That's found in Titus chapter 2, verse 12. We need teachers to share spiritual truth, and that's found in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 and verse 11. But at the end of it all, Westside Baptist Church, we're the stay. We hold up the mast, which holds up the yard, which holds up the sail, which holds up the crow's nest, which holds up God's children as they look for an answered prayer, which holds up the banner of the church, and we're to hold it high, and we're to hold it long, and we're to hold it strong because Jesus Christ is the head, or may I say he's the main thread in this rope called the church. What are we doing? What are we doing, oh Christians? What are we doing to be part of holding the banner high, the standards high, the qualifications high? If you're a leader here this morning and you know that you've slipped in these qualifications, I want you not to resign, but to resign and to stand up and serve like you should, not what the decorum of the church says or what the preacher thinks, but what the Word of God teaches. Every head bowed, every eye closed.